Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts. We are in the Documented Harvest module, and we are in the third part. And boy, I tell you what, it is wonderful. All of the examples of harvest in the book of Acts, and they're there in order to show us the blueprint of God, of what he has, his designs for the church. Doesn't matter what time period the church is in, the book of Acts is the blueprint. And when we look at the blueprint, we're able to build according to God's design. So let me open in a word of prayer and then let's begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for harvest. We thank you this is your idea, that you declared that if we would follow you, you would make us to become fishers of men. So, Father, we desire that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and we receive it. Amen. Number 23, Acts 16, 15, Lydia and her household. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. When she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, she begged us. Lydia was a worshiper of God that needed to be born again through faith in Christ. The work of God in Lydia's heart was so powerful that her house became the temporary base of Christian operation in that region. I would have to think that the discerning of spirits also came upon Lydia to know that she could trust these men, that these men were good men, men that were sent from God. It's also important to note that this harvest of Lydia and her household, and ultimately the region, came because of Paul's vision of the man from Macedonia. The gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation definitely were responsible for this new door opening into that region. And I tell you, this is probably another one of my very favorite examples, because you got to go back to Acts chapter 16 and pick up with Paul. He wants to go into Asia, but it's not God's will. God has something better. And Asia wasn't ready yet, but Macedonia was. And you know, the Lord knows the hearts of men. He knows where people are ready and where people are not. And that's why waiting upon the Lord, seeking God, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are crucial, so that we go the direction of the Spirit of God. And so you need to take time with Acts chapter 16, and just kind of see how God did this. Wonderful. Let's go to number 24. The keeper of the jail and his household. Acts 16, 30 through 34. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, and he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all of his family. And when he had brought them into his house, he fed them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Note, as Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises in the jail, the operation of God's special faith, fully mature and full of power, shook the jail to its core. Those two missionaries simply received God's power delivering them. In this occurrence, though the shackles fell off and the doors opened, no one escaped. Most likely the other prisoners sat paralyzed in their dark cells, too afraid to move. This operation of God's special faith was a sign and wonder both to the jailer and to every prisoner. Through the word of knowledge, Paul cries out to the jailer, "Hey, don't harm yourself." This further astounded the jailer, who was kept from self-destruction. The operation of the gift of faith upon that prison positioned all therein to hear the preaching of the gospel. The result of this operation of power was household salvation for the jailer. These only get better. I mean, I tell you, as soon as you read one, Lydia and her household, all of a sudden you're reading about this, where the power of God comes down on the jail, an earthquake happens, doors are flying open, shackles are flying off, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation. And before you know it, the jailer himself is crying out, "How can I be saved?" And one thing I like about this is that in the book of Acts, we never see the disciples telling people, "Come on, say this prayer with me and you'll be saved." And I'm not saying that's wrong, but what we see in the book of Acts, all the way from the first day of the church, when 3,000 people came to Christ, is that people were crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Meaning the work of God in the hearts of men was so strong that they were crying out, "What do I need to do? I know I'm a sinner. Something's wrong. I know I'm wrong. What do I need to do?" And let me tell you, that's really where salvation begins. It doesn't begin with the evangelist saying, "Say this prayer," which is good. I mean, we need to help people, but men get saved when they desire, "What do I need to do? I need to be saved." And God saves. Number 25, some Jews. Acts 17, verse 4. "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." Note, Paul established the Thessalonian church through the preaching of the gospel. The word of God will never return void, and in Thessalonica, it accomplished much. In this passage, the first part of this harvest only included some Jews. Now, in other examples, we saw great multitudes coming to the Lord. But here, concerning the Jews, wasn't a great multitude of Jews. It was some Jews. And we thank God for everybody being saved, but it was only some concerning Jews. Number 26, great multitude of Greeks. Acts 17, verse 4. Now, we're going to stay in the same verse. "And some believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude." The result of his preaching was a great multitude of Greeks who believed, in contrast to some Jews. And so it's amazing, because here the gospel is going forth, and they are Jews. They're preaching the gospel. And the result was some of the Jews, but a great multitude of Greeks. Let's go to number 27, chief women. Acts 17, verse 4. "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude." Now listen, "and of the chief women, not a few." Note, the result of his preaching affected every level of society. Here we see the chief women of Thessalonica come to Christ. In this one verse, we see how different groups, whether it's the Jews or the Greeks or even chief women, differing groups within society are touched by the power of the gospel. Acts 26, 22. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great." Meaning his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel was touching everybody. I love it. I love it. You got to spend time with that. Number 28, many Jews in Berea. Acts 17, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, meaning Jews in Berea, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Note, because of the persecution that arose in Thessalonica, and it's important to realize that, we're seeing a lot of people come to the Lord, but it wasn't easy street. A lot of persecution began to come. The disciples ended up sending Paul to Berea. The Bereans were noble and searched the scripture to prove what Paul was preaching. Paul preached from the Old Testament prophets, line upon line, and proved Jesus was the Christ, resulting in many Jews believing. Number 29, honorable Greek women and men. Now this is going to carry on in the same verse, Acts 17:12. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were of Greeks, and of men, not a few. Note, Paul preached from the Old Testament prophets, line upon line, and proved Jesus was the Christ. Not only was there a harvest of his own countrymen, like we saw in the prior example, but honorable Greek women and men came to the Lord. The term honorable refers to those who were educated, wealthy, and of a higher social status. The gospel was reaching people in every culture and every level of societal order. Simply put, Jesus is building his church, which is comprised of people, all people. Later in the book of James, the Holy Spirit confronts favoritism in the church based on wealth and societal order. That's James 2 verses 1 and 2. And I think it's important that when you look at James, that you think back to the book of Acts and realize the power of God was touching everybody. And all of a sudden, the local church is being made up of everybody. Jews, Greeks, rich people, poor people. And so when you bring these different groups together, you do begin to come up with problems. Sometimes poor people don't like rich people, and sometimes rich people don't like poor people. Or Jews don't like Greeks, and Greeks don't like Jews. And there's different problems. Sometimes even early on in Acts chapter 6, we saw that certain Jews didn't like other groups of Jews. Within the Jewish nation, there was racial division. And so the importance isn't so much the focus on the division, but looking at the power of the gospel being in Christ that brings all men into equality under love, under the power of God's love. Wow. Number 30, Dionysus, Damaris, and others. Acts 17:34. Howbeit certain men hung on to him, and they believed, meaning Paul, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Note, in Athens, Paul is given the opportunity to declare the resurrection of Jesus right in the heart of Greek humanism in a place called the Areopagus. It seems that Paul had not originally planned to go to Athens, but due to the persecution in Berea, the disciples sent him away yet again in order to save him. In Athens, while waiting for Timothy and Silas, Paul was troubled. It must have been very grieving for Paul to be living and walking in the light of Christ while discerning such darkness in Athens, a darkness the world called light. Paul was moved in the spirit to preach to them. Though it may have seemed like the preaching was hitting up against a brick wall, the power of the Holy Spirit was still saving those appointed to eternal life. Though not many came to Christ, a few did, and that is why Paul's spirit was stirred. The Lord, the great shepherd, will leave the 99 to find the one. That one, in turning to Christ, causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. Of course, in this passage, it was more than one. And, you know, that's another example of harvest where I don't know if Paul ever wanted to go to Athens, but remember, the persecution in Berea was pretty intense, and they had to send Paul away in order to save his life. And so here's Paul running away from Berea, wondering, oh, man, now I'm down in Athens. But you know what? God had a plan. And probably Paul didn't realize that he seemed out of season, but God was saying, no, this is season. It doesn't make sense to your natural mind, but just flow in your spirit. And he was troubled. And he began to follow the troubling of his spirit, and he began to preach. And before you know it, people began to come to Christ. How? Through the message of resurrection. And, you know, when he was in Athens, it doesn't say anything about the power of God manifesting. No. God didn't seem fit to demonstrate the power of God like that. But the message of resurrection was changing lives. And it will always change lives when resurrection is preached. Number 31, Crispus and his household. Don't you love that name, Crispus? Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. In Corinth, Paul reasoned with the Jews through Scripture. The Jews blasphemed, causing Paul to shake his garments and declare, from now on, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Though many of the Jews rejected, there are those that did receive the Lord, such as Crispus and his household. So even though there was a lot of rejection going on, people still were getting saved. Number 32, many Corinthians, Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Though most of the Jews rejected, many Corinthians accepted. This acceptance by the Gentiles provoked the Jews to greater envy against Paul. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, the Lord declared that he would drive the Jewish nation to jealousy by a people that are not a nation. The religious Jews envied Jesus, and they also envied the fullness of the blessing, the double blessing, of Abraham upon the church, which now was comprised of both Jews and Greeks. Oh my goodness. Not only were the non-apostles flowing in the power of God, these Jewish religious people were going crazy because now not only are Jews getting saved, but these Greeks, these Gentiles, are being changed. The power of the gospel. Number 33, about 12 of John's disciples, Acts 19, 5 through 7. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And the number of the men was about 12. Note, Paul brings 12 disciples of John into a complete understanding of salvation. After baptizing the men in water, they then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and prophesying. In this passage, the gifts of the Holy Spirit occur after Paul baptizes the men in the Holy Spirit. It's important to note that both salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit were being demonstrated together, having started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now to the ends of the earth. And that's important because, let me tell you, these apostles didn't play games with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If God is going to build a temple, he's going to glorify the whole temple. And, you know, it's like in the days of Solomon. When Solomon built that temple and dedicated it, there wasn't a charismatic or a Pentecostal side of that temple receiving the glory. No, the whole temple was consumed in the glory and power and the fire of God. And it's the same with the body of Christ now. Let's go to number 34. Acts 19:18. Many. I like that word, many. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Note, Paul had revelation that the healing power of God could saturate garments and cloths, as in the case with Jesus' garments. Perhaps while spending time with Peter, James, and John in Jerusalem, they told these unique stories of people being healed by touching Jesus' clothes. With faith operating on the same principle, Paul obeyed, and he prayed over handkerchiefs. The tangible anointing of the Lord's healing ministry was so strong upon Paul's body and that the handkerchiefs absorbed the healing power of God. Many, through this special operation, were healed and delivered from demonic influences. This demonstration of power so shook Ephesus that the vagabond Jews decided to adopt similar methods of ministry. The sons of Sceva, hearing about the power of God in Paul's ministry, attempted to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. This went terribly wrong for these wannabe exorcists. When the demonic power stripped and beat the sons of Sceva, it again shook Ephesus. Through Paul's preaching, heaven had descended upon that pagan city, and it was being turned upside down. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord fell upon all those that heard of these events. Because of the power of God that was being demonstrated, many turned away from witchcraft. They cleaned out their houses of everything that was unclean. It was a true revival. When the fear of the Lord is mixed together with miracles, it becomes a mighty catalyst for change in society. We must hunger for both. And Paul talks about Ephesus. He says the Lord has opened a door, and he said it was a great door, and he said it was an energized door, a door that was full of the fervency of God, effectual. And what he was saying is, when I went through that door, the power of God came down on me, and then heaven descended on Ephesus, and through the preaching of the gospel, turned that place upside down. And even today, we love to read the book of Ephesians, one of our favorite books. It was a result of that power of God coming on Paul. Number 35, some believed, Acts 28:24, and some believed that the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Note, the book of Acts closes with Paul in Rome speaking to the Jews who came to hear him. He used the law of Moses and the prophets to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. The result was some believed. Others, by an act of their will, chose not to believe. They could have chose to believe, but they chose not to. Wow, that you got to take time with that one. There's a lot of depth. I mean, it kind of scares you a little bit. Wow. They heard and they made a decision. They could have believed, but they chose not to. Number 36, Gentiles, Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore to you, this is Paul talking, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they shall hear it. Note, this by far is my favorite record of or recorded harvest in the book of Acts, because it includes you and me. With Paul, a captive in Rome, we have experienced roughly 30 years of church history. From the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem to Paul before Caesar, the final harvest is spoken by a word of wisdom. The Gentiles will hear. After chapter 28, the road of church history has been set forth, a road that has encircled the globe, from tyrannical kings and governments that have sought to destroy Christianity, to stories of great revivals that turn nations upside down. Truly, Christianity is built on a rock, and the gates of hell they have never prevailed, nor will they ever. That's Matthew 16:18. Take time for that, because after Paul's time in Rome, the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth. In some places, great persecution. In others, wonderful revival. The world has heard the gospel, and that gospel is bearing fruit. And so we've come to the end. Now you need to pray, Lord, I've heard something. I receive it. I want this working in me. I want it working in my church. I want it in the earth. And so now you can pray with greater fervency. Listen, that's all for now. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember that we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, when we go into the next module, can't wait to do it. These are exciting. God bless you. Bye-bye.